Hello, and welcome to 37th and the World, the official podcast of the Georgetown Journal of International Affairs. GIA is a student-run, flagship publication of Georgetown University School of Foreign Service. On 37th and the World, we dive into key global trends and speak directly with the experts working on these issues in areas ranging from conflict and security, human rights and development, science and technology, society and culture, business and economics, and global governance. The ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine is the most recent event out of a series of crises that have challenged European foreign affairs and geopolitical cohesion. This crisis is at the core of the theme of the Transatlantic Policy Symposium, or TAPS, toward a geostrategic Europe. In anticipation of TAPS, a graduate student-run conference at Georgetown University's BMW Center for German-European Studies, I asked one of the symposium co-chairs, Nick Locker, about the content and anticipated events at the conference to be held on Friday, March 18th. To get us started, can you explain the theme of this year's conference, Toward a Geostrategic Europe?
Yeah, so the starting point for this theme is the observation that for many years, Europe has primarily been looking inward and attempting to deal with a series of crises. So economic crises, political crises, and institutional crises. Some examples of this are, it's really been more than a decade that this has been sort of the dominant dynamic in European affairs. You had the financial crisis, then the migration crisis, Brexit. You had the sort of crisis in relations to the United States that happened after the election of Donald Trump in 2016. And so there are a lot of crises that Europe has been trying to deal with that sort of made it preoccupied with its internal affairs. And because of this, European leaders haven't really had the ability or the incentive to develop and execute an ambitious vision for the continent's place in the world. And as a result, Europe has really been sort of unable to exert a large influence on global affairs, despite the fact that it has considerable economic and demographic weight. However, we argue sort of in developing this conference theme that there's recently, over the past couple of years or so, there's been a sense of sort of a geostrategic awakening in Europe, and that leaders are starting to more seriously consider the European role within a global context. So examples of this are the COVID-19 pandemic, actually, which, while it was an internal crisis, actually sort of led to actually really a revitalization of the European integration process through what many people have called sort of Europe's Hamiltonian moment, which is when the EU member states agreed to jointly borrow money in order to finance the economic recovery from COVID crisis. And then, in addition, there's sort of been the emergence of a new era of great power competition or strategic competition, whatever you want to call it, that's been spurred by the rise of China, lingering political instability in the United States, and perhaps most saliently at the present moment, an increasingly aggressive Russia. And this has produced a movement towards European strategic autonomy, or some call it sovereignty, and across multiple areas, technology, trade, defense, just to name a few. And then finally, we've also seen sort of a cohesive European identity continue to form and coalesce. And this in turn has increased, is continuing to increase the cultural influence and the soft power of Europe in the world more broadly. So within all of this context, the theme of this year's conference, that is towards a geostrategic Europe, it's really aiming to consider how Europe is transforming itself into a global actor, and to reflect on the challenges and the opportunities that are related to this process. And specifically, the conference is going to examine what the problems are that need to be addressed, what the solutions are to the problems, and who needs to take action so that Europe can forge more of a geostrategic vision to meet the challenges of the 21st century.
What precisely is the purpose of the Transatlantic Policy Symposium? How does it help to contribute to discourses on European affairs?
Yeah, so the Transatlantic Policy Zoom, or TAPS, in a nutshell, it's an annual convening of a lot of the leading minds across the field of European and Atlantic affairs. And it's been happening every year for more than a decade. I should mention, this is an entirely student-run conference at Georgetown, run by the graduate students in the Master of Arts in German and European Studies program in the School of Foreign Service. And it's entirely put on by students. This year, there are three co-chair conference, including me. It's been going on for more than a decade now, and it's really established a reputation as an important forum for people working on these issues to get together and discuss the most pressing issues that are currently affecting the transatlantic relationship. And one unique aspect of the conference is that it brings together different sort of subsets of this larger transatlantic policy community, including academics, so, you know, Georgetown professors, graduate students, both at Georgetown and from across different universities, and then as well as policy professionals, primarily working in DC. And, you know, all these people come together and they have the opportunity to exchange ideas in a sort of a collegial environment. And to illustrate this point, I'd maybe just like to point out a few of the different panels that we have this year at the conference. So, you know, we have two graduate student panels, and these are made up of graduate students from outside of Georgetown, from universities across the United States, as well as Europe. We have 9 graduate students that are coming to the conference, about 50-50 split between American graduate students and European graduate students. And they, you know, by coming, they have an opportunity to present the research that they've been working on and have a really unique opportunity to interact with each other and with the policy community here in DC. And so that's one element of it. And then in addition, we have panels. We have a keynote speaker who is we're going to have the current ambassador of the European Union to the United States come and speak, deliver a keynote address. And then we have an expert panel as well. Well, we'll have leading thinkers, including former U.S. government officials and experts from the D.C. think tank community. And, you know, this is really great as well, because it allows the students who are at the conference to make connections with these experts in the fields and further their own intellectual and professional development. And then last element is we have a panel of alumni from the MAGIS program. And this is really a great opportunity for current students to connect with past students and see where they've taken their career after graduating from the program, and sort of, I guess, provide a little bit of inspiration for their future professional development. And so, by bringing together all these different groups, we're hoping to move forward the discourse on critical issues and inform thought and policy leadership in the transatlantic and European affairs space.
Thank you. I remember that there is going to be an expert panel featuring at the TAPS conference. Which particular topic should we expect from the panel featuring Dr. Corey Schuck, Ambassador Paula Dobriansky, and Ms. Julia Friedlander to bring up and share in the conference?
Yeah, sure. So the expert panel is taking place in the morning from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And it's going to be a rather broad discussion focused on the theme of the conference as a whole. So a lot of the sort of subtopics that I brought up earlier will be addressed. It's going to be pretty wide ranging, but we're really excited to have these three speakers in particular, because they have backgrounds that really touch on different aspects of transatlantic affairs. And the aim is to sort of bring out their particular areas of expertise throughout the discussion. So for instance, Julia Friedlander, who's currently at the Atlantic Council, leading their economic statecraft initiative, she has a background and an expertise in sort of the more of the geoeconomics area realm. So, she has experience having worked at the Department of Treasury in the past and is currently doing a lot of work on sanctions, which is sanctions policy is obviously very, very important for in the current context where you have the response from Europe and the United States to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and it's a really major aspect of sort of the role of Europe as a geostrategic actor is its sanctions policy. That's just, you know, one element that I'm hoping she'll be able to provide a lot of expertise on. And then, you know, our other two speakers sort of have different backgrounds. So, for example, Dr. Corey Shockey, she has more of a background on the defense and military side of things. So, you know, I'm hoping that she can sort of bring out a lot of the perspective on NATO and European defense cooperation. And then, you know, finally, Ambassador Paula Dobriansky, she, you know, her diplomatic experience is something that we're really hoping to bring out as well, and just, you know, get more insight on how the transatlantic relationship is faring at the moment in more of a political sense. And then in terms of format, we're going to have about a 20 to 30 minute moderated discussion followed by audience Q&A. And so hopefully, you know, we'll have the chance to have a wide ranging discussion, as I said, touching on a lot of the different current issues in transatlantic relations and European affairs.
There will also be two student panels at the conference, one labeled Identity and Power and the other EU Foreign Affairs. Could you explain why these panel section topics were selected and what these students will contribute to discussions on a geostrategic Europe?
Sure. So these two panel topics were actually chosen based off of the paper submissions that we received from the students who wished to participate in the conference. So just to give a little background, back in the fall, there was an open call for paper abstracts relating to the conference theme. And we received around 50 submissions and had to narrow it down from that pool to the 9 presenters that we're gonna have come to the conference. And that's gonna be split between these two panels that you already mentioned before. And the call for papers that we had back months ago, we encouraged submissions from across a wide range of academic disciplines. So that includes political science, history, economics, and cultural studies, among others. And so, you know, we were really pleased to see that we received a pretty diverse group of submissions in terms of the disciplinary background and the issues covered. In our EU Foreign Affairs panel, for instance, we have one presenter who's going to discuss their paper on how the EU's recently instituted COVID recovery funds acts as a tool of geoeconomic power. And then we also have papers on the EU security and defense policy, and also the impact of domestic politics in the various EU member states on overall European foreign policy. So that's just, you know, a little bit of an illustration of the range of topics that we have. And then in our other panel on identity and power, we have papers about language policy in Europe, about EU citizenship rights, and about LGBT identity, for instance. And, you know, all of this sort of is, all of the papers in this panel are getting at the idea of how European cultural identity intersects with European power and Europe's geopolitical influence.
Is there anything that you believe will make this year's symposium stand out from previous ones hosted by the Center for German and European Studies?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. I think maybe the biggest one is that after 2 years of being online due to COVID, we're going to be back in person this year. And that's, you know, that's really exciting for us and for the rest of the students participating in the conference, just as well as the speakers that are coming, just because, you know, there's really something to be said about that face-to-face in-person interaction that helps people to build relationships, which, you know, especially for example, for the graduate students from other universities that we have coming to the conference, you know, a big sort of selling point for them is the opportunity to build relationships with people you see and from elsewhere. And that is, in my opinion, and I think most people would agree with this, that's, you know, much more easily facilitated by an in-person conference. So we're really excited about that. There are no sort of hiccups with the ongoing pandemic situation. Looks, you know, relatively optimistic about it at the moment. You know, things can obviously change. Yeah, sort of a second unique aspect of this year's conference is that we're going to be hosting reception off campus on the night after the symposium, which should be really, that should be really a nice opportunity for everyone. It's going to include the alumni panel for an hour, and then additionally for another hour, there's going to be a reception, as I said, and that'll be an additional networking opportunity for participants of the conference. And then I guess sort of a third sort of unique aspect is that this conference is occurring in the midst of a major geopolitical crisis for Europe with the war in Ukraine. And we're, you know, it's unfortunately, even the theme of the conference is unfortunately even more relevant now than maybe we thought it was going to be. Because we're really seeing a major test right now of whether Europe is able to, in fact, act geostrategically, and to a large extent, the way in which it responds to this current crisis is going to determine its future trajectory as a geostrategic actor.
Speaking on that major geopolitical crisis, how does the conference plan to exactly address the ongoing conflict in Ukraine? And if so, how has the crisis changed any original plans? And which components will potentially be addressed? A few developments that come to mind to me are the Swift sanctions and the refugee crisis, for example.
Yeah, so I would say that we don't have plans to change the overall agenda or format of the conference because of the crisis. But that being said, it's of course going to be a very important theme that's going to run throughout the discussions that will be held over the course of the day. So as I previously mentioned, the ongoing war is a big test for Europe's ability to act geostrategically. And you mentioned the sanctions. That's huge. That's probably the biggest element of Europe's response to the war, to the invasion. We're seeing so far a pretty strong and united sanctions response from the European Union. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interest in that topic throughout the conference. Refugees as well, very, very big topic. Saw just in the news earlier today that it's looking like the European Union is going to grant sort of blanket protection to all Ukrainians for up to 3 years. So, we'll see how that develops, but definitely a big, big test of Europe's sort of overall cohesion and political will with that. And then, other elements that are becoming more relevant as well are the European Common Security and Defense Policy. So we saw just about a week ago or earlier this week, a big first in the EU's common security and defense policy when used this mechanism called the European Peace Facility to jointly provide arms shipments to Ukraine, for example. So, that's a big development in sort of the cohesion of Europe as a security and defense actor. So, and there are a lot of papers that are going to be addressing the EU's common security and defense policy. So I'm sure that will come up as well. I guess that is all to say that, I think the themes of the conference intersect really closely with the current crisis in Ukraine. And I think it's going to come up in almost everything that we talk about during the day. I will say that it's just making me more confident that we picked a really relevant and timely theme for this year's conference.
Amidst the events in Ukraine, news about another extremely significant international crisis, the COVID-19 pandemic, has comparably quieted down. Does the conference plan to address COVID-19 and its relation to Europe after 2 years of contact with and struggle against the disease?
So yeah, I would say you're right that Europe's response to the COVID crisis has definitely sort of been less prominently in the news recently, just because there has been other stuff going on, and also it's quieted down a little bit for the moment. But with that being said, I it's definitely going to factor into discussions at the conference. I mentioned this earlier on in our discussion, but the student papers on the EU Foreign Affairs panel that's talking about this Hamiltonian moment of the European Union that occurred when it made the decision to jointly borrow money in order to finance the bloc's economic recovery from the crisis. And this is a really big topic. We're going to definitely discuss it. And you know, the argument here is that this new step forward in financial integration is going to empower the European Union to be a more competent geoeconomic and geostrategic actor in the future. So that's one way that I really do see the COVID pandemic coming up during the conference. Other than that, you know, I'm sure that it'll sort of be tangentially present in a lot of discussions. Although I don't necessarily know if it's going to be, you know, a big focus.
Thank you. Is there anything more that we have not discussed yet about the symposium that you would like to bring up or cover?
Oh, I mean, nothing really. I think that, you know, we've been able to cover most of the key aspects of it. I think the only thing I'd want to mention is just, you know, I would really highly encourage any listeners of the podcast to check out the Transatlantic Policy Symposium. You can find more information on the Georgetown website, on the page for the BMW Center for German and European Studies. If you look under research and event programming, you can find information about TAPS. And just as a reminder, it's going to take place on Friday, March 19th. And I'm hoping that maybe, you know, some of the listeners will be interested in attending.
This was 37th in the World. Thank you to Nick Walker. Please be sure to subscribe and leave a comment and rating on whichever streaming platform you use. To read this interview and other insightful interviews and articles, please check out jijia.georgetown.edu. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.